You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Welcome to week two of Summer Sundays. How good is summer though? I think summer's my favorite season. Does anyone else agree with me in that? The beach, the sun, daylight savings, it's bright till 9 o'clock. It gets bright at 6 o'clock in the morning, all the good things in life. You know, this morning as we continue our series of Summer Sundays, I wanted to talk to you about something that's quite special to me or quite dear to me in my heart. The title of my message this morning is Walking in Freedom. Freedom is something that as a society today, I think we value quite highly. It's often associated with things like your rights or entitlements. So freedom of speech, freedom of choice, they're things we often hear thrown around the world. The Oxford Dictionary defines freedom as the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants. It speaks of being independent, not constrained, not limited, not restricted, not imprisoned, not enslaved. Actually, speaking of being imprisoned, I was reading this story the other day on the internet about a man who had been in prison for a very long time on a long sentence. And on the day he got released, he came running out the gates, fell to the ground, and yelled out, "I'm free! I'm free!" And there was a little girl close by next to him, and she looked at him strangely and goes, "So what? I'm four." And obviously she took the whole freedom thing the wrong way. But you know, freedom was valuable to that man, and freedom is valuable to us today. But what does the Bible actually tell us about freedom? Galatians 5:1 says, "So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law." John 8:36, we sang this was in the song we sang earlier. "So if the Son makes you free, then you are unquestionably free." But what does that mean for us today? How can we be unquestionably free? How do we walk in freedom? Because we hear these terms, and I heard these terms many times about walking in freedom. Jesus has set me free. But how do we actually do this? And you know, for me, there was a season in my life where I actually wasn't walking in freedom. There was a season in my life where I got so caught up in an obsession with health and fitness and being healthy and living healthy that it actually entrapped me. It actually enslaved me, and I wasn't walking in freedom. But you know, I'm so thankful to God. I'm so thankful that Jesus helped me walk through that. That he brought revelation to my heart, that he transformed my life, that he changed me so I can actually walk in freedom today. And you know, I'm not there yet. Like, I'm not like, we're never 100% there, but it's a daily a walk into freedom. So it's not that like, oh yeah, you know, you're perfect, you're sorted, you're done. But as we continue to walk in freedom, with the help of Holy Spirit, he takes us to greater levels of freedom, refining our character so we can be who God has called us to be. So this morning I want to share from a story in Luke about a man who literally wasn't walking in freedom, who began to walk in freedom. So if you're following in your Bibles or on your phone, or it's up on the screen as well, we're reading from Luke chapter 5, verses 18 to 39. To set the scene for this story, Jesus has started his work on earth. He's been performing miracles in all different places. He's now returned to his hometown of Capernaum, and he's speaking to a group of people in an enclosed place. Luke chapter 5, verse 18 to 39. "Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat. They tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof and took off some tiles. Then they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd right in front of Jesus. Seeing their fate, Jesus said to the men, 'Young man, your sins are forgiven.' But the Pharisees and teachers of religious law said to themselves, 'Who does he think he is? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins.' Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, 'Why do you question this in your heart? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins.' Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, 'Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home.' And immediately, as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, and went home praising God. Everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God, exclaiming, 'We have seen amazing things here today.' So my first point this morning about walking in freedom is that Jesus is the source of true freedom. We didn't read verse 17 in that passage, but in that verse it actually says that the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. In Hebrews 13 verse 8, it speaks about Jesus being the same yesterday, today and forever. So if the healing power of Jesus was available then, it's available for you and I today. Paul's prayer in Ephesians in chapter 1 verses 19 to 20 says, "I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms." Church, this morning, Jesus is the source of freedom. Jesus is the source of your breakthrough. As we start this new year, 2019, as we're 2 weeks into it, that Jesus has all you need for your freedom, whatever you're needing it in, whether it's healing, whether it's for your finances, for relationships, habits that you may struggle with, whatever it is we are walking through in life, Jesus is the source of your breakthrough. His death on the cross, like Pastor Bevan spoke about in communion, his death on the cross and his resurrection means that as Christians, we can walk in freedom. We can walk in authority and we can walk in resurrection power. It means that you and I have been forgiven, that we no longer need to be slaves to sin or slaves to our past, that we are free from our past. You know, that's something that we need to recognize, I think. We need to recognize that God's forgiveness is there for us. It's a done deal. It was done once and for all on the cross. And we no longer need to walk in sin, shame, condemnation, and guilt. I think, though, I don't know if this is the same for anyone else, but it's often a challenge for us, or it can be a challenge for us, because the things we've done in our past, or our upbringing, or maybe some incorrect thoughts we have about ourselves, make it hard to believe. Am I really forgiven? Can I really walk guilt-free? And we start to doubt these things. But can I encourage you this morning with the truth of God's word, that you are forgiven. Church, I declare this morning that each and every one of us, if you've made a decision to make Jesus Lord of your life, you are forgiven. It's a done deal. He has forgiven your sins, not because of anything that we have done, or not anything because of who we are, but because of who he is and what he has done. But don't take my word for it. Let's turn to scripture to clarify this. So Romans chapter 5, verse 8. "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." See, it wasn't based on our merit. We were still sinners, and yet Christ died for us. And in that story from Luke 5, when Jesus spoke to the paralyzed man about his sins being forgiven, the Pharisees doubted it. They said, "Hang on, who is this man who can forgive sins?" And sometimes that's what the enemy will do to you and I. He'll make you doubt your forgiveness. He'll make you doubt if you've been made right with God. Well, what about this that you did? What about that you did? Remember just yesterday how you were rude to that person. Remember how yesterday you got angry about that person who cut in front of you in traffic. All these things that the enemy plants, the little seeds of how that make you doubt, am I forgiven? Am I in right standing with God? But let me encourage you this morning, church, that we are forgiven. You are forgiven. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 says, "In him we have redemption, that is our deliverance and salvation through his blood, which paid the penalty for our sin and resulted in the forgiveness and complete pardon of our sin in accordance with the riches of his grace." Can't get much clearer than that. Complete pardon of our sin. It's because of his blood, the price that Jesus paid on the cross, that we have complete forgiveness. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior, he is a new creature, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition, have passed away. Behold, new things have come, because spiritual awakening brings a new life." See, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. The life you used to live, the life, the things you used to do, they don't count against you anymore because of the price that Jesus paid. So if you're someone here this morning who's brought down by feelings of guilt or shame or condemnation, can I encourage you that that's not God's heart for you at all? That God desires you to walk in freedom, to walk in all he has for you. But how do you do this? Because you might say, "Oh, well, that's easy to say, hey? Like, yeah, walk in freedom. How do I actually do this?" We need Holy Spirit to renew our mind each and every day, to change our wrong patterns of thinking, to change areas where we are not thinking according to His will or His ways. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." See, this is something that I've had to do over myself, to ask the Holy Spirit to help to change the way I think about myself, that it's a daily renewing of your mind, not listening to the truth of what you might hear from the world or the truth of what you might think about yourself, but taking those thoughts captive and making them truth to the, to making them obedient to the truth of His word. What does His word say about you? Those scriptures I read from Ephesians and from 2 Corinthians, that you are a new creation, that you are forgiven, you have been completely pardoned of all your sins, that there is no guilt and condemnation in Christ Jesus, that He has set us free. All these things, it's a daily thing of renewing our mind. This walk in freedom requires action from us to renew our mind daily and declare the truth of His word over our lives. So Jesus is the source of your true freedom. You are forgiven. Let me declare that over you again, church, that you are forgiven. But you are also loved unconditionally. A couple of weeks ago, Trent spoke about the unconditional love of God, that there's nothing we can do to make God love us more, and there's nothing we can do to make Him love us less. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "He loves us with an everlasting love." How good is our God? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 to 5 says, "Even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us to be in Christ, to be holy and without fault in His eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure." You know how exciting it is when I read that? It just gives me such a joy, because even before He made the world, God loved us. Even before you were in being, God loved you. He knew everything about you, and He loved you. He created us for a relationship with Him, and He loved you and I. And I'm so thankful for that He decided to adopt us into His family, to make us His own. And you know, I can speak of His unconditional love now, and I can walk in it, but there actually was a time that I didn't. And His unconditional love was something that I actually found hard to believe a little bit growing up. I grew up in Malaysia, for those of you who don't know. And in Malaysia, I suppose there's a lot of emphasis on a performance-based sort of society, a performance-based culture. So, you know, uncles and aunties and everyone always wanted to know, how are you doing in school? How many A's did you get in this major exam? Or what extracurricular activities are you involved with? How good are you going in your sport? What musical instruments do you play? What grade are you in piano? All these different things made it a very performance-based culture. Now, for me personally, that sort of made me start to link how I was performing to whether I was loved or what my worth was. So, you know, if I was doing well in school, if I was doing all the right things, if I was doing well in sport, if I got to this level of sport, then I had worth, then I had value, then I was loved. And so I think I projected that into my relationship with God. How I was behaving or what I was doing in terms of following God determined then His level of love for me or how much He would love me. I then started to believe that God's love was conditional, it was dependent on me or what I would do. And you know, I'd heard different people speak about the unconditional love of God. But for the longest time, that was just information for me. And I was saying this morning in prayer meeting that information turns into knowledge, but it's revelation that brings transformation into your heart. And I had to receive revelation from the Holy Spirit of how God sees me. And I remember one day I was reading Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. And this is the account of when Jesus was baptized and when He comes out of the water and the Spirit descends on Him like a dove and the Father declares over Jesus. He says, "This is My Son, whom I love. In Him I'm well pleased." And you know, that brought such breakthrough to my life. That brought such transformation, because I remember Holy Spirit saying to me that that's how I see you. That you are loved, that you are My child, and I'm well pleased with you. And can I encourage you this morning, church, that maybe some of you this morning, you might be walking through that same journey that I had to walk through. that you might believe that the love of the Father is unconditional, that it's conditional, sorry, that it depends on you or your merit or your goodness. But can I encourage you that the Father says to you that you are my child, that I love you, and I am pleased with you. I'm not angry. I'm not disappointed. Yes, I know you're a work in progress. There's things you might struggle with, but I love you. First and foremost, you are my child, and I'm pleased with you. And you know, that revelation of his unconditional love, it just became like a seal upon my heart, that nothing can change that now. I am unmovable in that. I'm unmovable in his unconditional love. And you know, it's the same for you. I'm not unique in this, that we can walk in freedom in that. We can walk in freedom knowing that we are unconditionally loved and that we are forgiven. So Jesus is the source of your true freedom. He's the one that makes you known that you are forgiven. It's because of him we are forgiven and we are loved unconditionally. But secondly, we also need people around us to help us on this walk in freedom. Going back to our story in Luke chapter 5, in verse 20 it says, "Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the men, 'Young man, your sins are forgiven.'" This same story about Jesus healing the paralyzed man is also told in the Gospel of Matthew and Mark. And in Matthew 9, chapter 2, it says, "Seeing their active faith, springing from confidence in him, Jesus said to the paralytic, 'Do not be afraid, son. Your sins are forgiven. The penalty is paid, the guilt removed, and you are declared to be right standing with God.'" So you notice what it says here. It doesn't actually say seeing the faith of the paralytic man. It says seeing their faith. So their being plural, meaning it included the friends who were with him, who took the time to remove the tiles from the roof and lower him in despite the crowd to see Jesus. So the faith of the paralyzed man actually helped the paralyzed man walk in freedom. It's the same for you and I today, that as we stand together, our faith can help someone else walk in freedom. We're not called to be lone rangers. We're not called to function as an island, to do everything on our own. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend." We need fellow believers. We need each other to keep us sharpened, to keep us accountable, to help us walk this journey of freedom. Pastor Bevan spoke last week about how we are created to do life together and how we are better together. He read from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 to 10. "Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble." We need each other. We can help each other on this journey of walking in freedom. I can keep myself accountable to people around me. I can be vulnerable with people around me. And they can help me when I'm struggling. They can help me when I need a pick-me-up. And I can encourage them in the same way. Again, this was something for me that it was a journey of learning to walk in this. Because I'm a fairly independent person. I like to think so anyway. I've been living out of home since I was 17. So I had to learn to be quite independent and self-reliant. Which means I often had to try and do things myself, or I wanted to do things myself, without relying on help for anyone. I think it's a second child thing as well. Stubborn and strong-headed and strong-willed. Anyone else a second child who's a bit like that? Yep. They're the best kids, though. I'm not biased at all, are they? So I've had to learn, and I'm still learning, how to build close relationship with other believers. You know, being someone who's pretty good at doing things yourself, I've also had to learn to ask for help and accept the help. Because sometimes it's like, oh, no, I'm all right, I can do this myself. But learning to ask for the help, but also receive the help when it's offered. We need each other, church. We need each other on walking out this journey of freedom. We can't do it on our own. We need each other to encourage each other, to spur each other on, to challenge each other. Now, please hear me out this morning, church. I'm not talking about being codependent. I'm not talking about being so reliant on one person that you cling on to them for everything, that you need them to even stand up and do anything. Because that's not healthy for you or for that other person. But I'm talking about supporting each other, helping each other, spurring each other on, sharpening each other. like those scriptures in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes talk about, you spur each other on, help each other up. We can walk this journey together. We can walk in freedom together. And you know, I've seen this work powerfully in my life. Even this week, I was just speaking to Rachel. For those of you who don't know, I live in a house with Rachel and Ozzy. And earlier this week, I was having some sort of struggles with decisions that I've got to make, or some future decisions I've got to make over the coming months. And you know, Ozzy and Rachel have been away from home, so all I had were my own thoughts. And I don't know if anyone else knows, but when you've got your own thoughts and you haven't spoken them out to anyone else, you sort of go, I'm going through these thoughts. What do I do here? What do I do there? And I was just going through all the emotions. And sometimes when the thoughts are just going through your head, that's when the enemy has the opportunity to cause doubt or uncertainty. That, you know, he makes you go like, oh, is this really from God? Am I hearing from God? What's going on in this situation? What's the reality? What's the truth in this situation? And I remember the other day I was sitting in Rachel's car and I just sort of briefly shared with her some of the things I was going through. And it's amazing, even just that moment of being vulnerable, how much freedom I got from that, because it was no longer all these thoughts that were going through my mind. I was being vulnerable and accountable to someone, and I was sharing the struggle with someone, and it was like the light of Jesus came in that situation. So where it was hidden in darkness in the back of my mind, it was exposed to the light of Jesus that came in the form of Rach to just listen to that. Now, I can't remember if she really said anything specific or anything, gave me like this amazing advice or whatever she said, but just the fact that she was there, that she was someone that I could be accountable to, that I could be vulnerable with, made a huge difference to where I was walking. That even in that, like, I already feel like I'm in a greater level of freedom in this area just from having shared it with her. So can I encourage you, church, if you're a bit like me, if you're a bit of a lone ranger sometimes, if you like your own company, that we need each other. We need each other as the body of Christ working together to help each other walk on our journey of freedom. So Jesus is the source of your true freedom. We need each other to walk in your freedom. Thirdly, when you receive direction towards freedom, it requires action. When Jesus said to the paralyzed man, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home, that was a direction. That was an instruction. Luke chapter 5 verse 25 says, and immediately as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, and went home praising God. The paralyzed man received direction from Jesus, but he actually had to get up. He had to walk and he had to go home after receiving that direction. Action was actually required from the paralyzed man. He couldn't just remain lying down on that mat in order to receive his breakthrough, in order to walk in freedom. He had to act in obedience to the direction of stand up, pick up your mat, and go home to receive his breakthrough. And I was thinking about it. Being a paralyzed man, he might have had some uncertainty of whether he would actually been able to do it. If you had been lying on a mat for that long, it's likely that his muscles might have wasted away a little bit. He would have felt quite weak and unable. If he'd been restricted for that long or trapped in that certain way for so long, there may have been some hesitation. I imagine if I was in the same situation, I'd be like, will my muscles actually hold me up? But he had the faith to follow the direction, to follow the instruction from Jesus. He did it anyway. Whether or not he had those uncertainties, he still did it. Similarly, for you and I today, we need instruction from the Holy Spirit to walk in freedom. We need to hear from him and hear for his direction in areas of freedom that we need to grow in. Even as I've been speaking this morning, maybe there's areas that the Holy Spirit has been highlighting to you where, maybe you need to grow in freedom a little bit in this. If you're anything like me, sometimes when I hear that little sort of nudge, I'm like, maybe later, God. But can I encourage you this morning that this is your opportunity to walk in freedom? This is your opportunity to start walking in freedom. It starts with that little nudge from the Holy Spirit. You know, even that little thought, even that little feeling that you go, as you're speaking about this, that's something that I need to work on, actually. Maybe it's something that I've mentioned this morning. Maybe it's something completely different. There might be areas in our life where we're trapped in wrong mindsets, unhealthy habits, unhelpful practices, things that are not helping us walk in freedom of who God has called us to be. But the Holy Spirit is so faithful. He's the best teacher ever. He's the best coach ever. That he will guide you into all truth, that he will lead you into all truth. He has your best and highest interest at heart. He won't leave you alone to walk this journey yourself. But if he gives you an instruction, he will give you the path and the ability and the grace and the strength to walk it out. So like he said to the paralyzed man, get up, take up your mat and go home. That as he gives you an instruction towards walking in freedom, we can choose to follow that instruction. We may have uncertainties or questions. Will my muscles hold me up? Will I be able to jump up? Will I be able to walk and go home? And it's all right to have those questions, but can I encourage you, church? Let's be obedient. Let's follow the instructions. Let's take action with what God has called us to do. And sometimes I think this is a little bit countercultural for us as a society. You know, when you talk about obedience or following an instruction, it almost sounds like a restriction to our freedom. You go, oh, if I have to follow what someone else says, if I have to follow what the Word of God says, I'm being restricted in my freedom, aren't I? It's a series of rules. But can I encourage you that it's only by following the one who created us that we can truly walk in freedom as we were meant to? You know, it reminds me of this video I was watching on BBC Earth about an eagle. Now, I think eagles are pretty cool animals, or birds, I suppose you call birds animals. But, you know, this video I was watching of an eagle, he was sitting on a man's perched on his arm, and they were gonna turn on a wind tunnel and actually show how an eagle soars. So this giant wind tunnel and this man sitting with the eagle on his arm here. And, you know, when you look at the eagle sitting on his arm, it's a pretty cool bird, you know, he's a beautiful bird. But he was truly transformed when they turned on the fan that generated the wind tunnel. You know, as the fan started turning, it just showed how the eagle's wings started to open up and rise and rise and rise. And it almost looked effortless because that's what the eagle was created to do. And as the wind got faster and faster and faster, eventually the eagle lifted off the man's arm and he was just soaring there in the wind tunnel. And, you know, I was just reminded of that the eagle looked pretty amazing on the man's arm. But it's when he was in his element, in the wind, that he was truly soaring, that he was gliding. And that's the same for us. See, as we walk in freedom, we can manage all right sitting on a perch and staying where we are. We'll get by. There may be some struggles. There may be some hard times. But we can manage staying where we are. But when we remember who created us and what he created us for, and as we rise up to that, we can truly walk in freedom. We can truly soar in freedom like the eagle. So can I encourage you this morning, church? If there are areas in your life where you go, Holy Spirit, I know I'm not walking in freedom in this area. I need your grace. I need your ability. I need your guidance to walk in freedom. Can I encourage you, church? Let's go on this journey together. I'm on this journey as much as you are. There's always greater levels of freedom to walk in. But let's do it together. Because as I close, can I encourage you with this final thought? Your walking in freedom is not just about you. When you walk in freedom, it impacts others. In the story of the paralyzed man in Luke chapter 5, verse 26, everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe, and they praised God, exclaiming, "We have seen amazing things today." When you walk in freedom, others will be amazed. Others will see the breakthrough that you've experienced. Others will see the freedom that you walk in, and they will be blessed. What a testimony you will have to share of God's goodness, of God's faithfulness. What a testimony to believers and unbelievers alike of the mighty God we serve, who pursues us endlessly, who wants greater levels of breakthrough for us, who wants us to walk in freedom and authority, who has revealed his great love to us. What a testimony to the people around you. So church, 2 weeks into the new year, let's go on this journey of walking in freedom. Let's do this together. John chapter 8 verse 36 says, "So if the Son makes you free, you are unquestionably